Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to come in, shut the doors, take a seat. Let's pray. We again thank you, Father, for the great privilege of worshiping every single Sunday. It is a glorious time to just remember who you are and what you've done for us. And today we remember that through the moms in our lives. There are so many amazing women here among us that have shown us the love of God. There are so many women. I think of my wife, I think of my mother, my mother-in-law, and many other women here who die a million little deaths every day to pour themselves out, sacrificially love. And we are just so appreciative of them. And so we pray to return the favor today. We could pour out blessing on their heads and let them know that we do love them. We do appreciate them beyond what they may understand, beyond what we may even express. We just dedicate our service to you, and we pray that this love that we receive from the moms in our lives would continue, it would expand and grow as their faith expands and grows, and that our gratitude for it would grow as well. We just love these women here. Just dedicate our service to them and to you. Just pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, good morning and happy Mother's Day. Ladies, you get one day, but I wish it were a week. I wish I could just hand you a week and let you do what you want to do with it. And I just want to say this on behalf of everybody. We'd be in trouble without you. You do so much for your families. I don't even know half the time some of the things my wife has done. So I hope somebody can spoil you today, because motherhood is hard work. You can say it. You cook, you clean, you comfort, you are never off duty. There are days where I know that my wife works harder than I do. Every day, she does the impossible. The same is true for all the moms here. It takes a lot of sacrifice to be a good mother. It takes a lot of patience and perseverance. And honestly, it takes a lot of faith. It is not always easy to be a faithful mom or to trust that your efforts with your children will turn out. But there is hardly a better investment in children or in the future than mothering. I'd like to share a story with you this morning about a very godly woman and her example of faith. That woman is Jochebed. Now, perhaps you've heard of her, but perhaps not. She is fairly anonymous in Scripture. She is Moses' mother, and she had an extraordinary faith. So extraordinary that she is one of three women that is mentioned in Hebrews 11 in the so-called Faith Hall of Fame. So this woman, Jochebed, because of her refusal to cave to fear, because of her faith to trust God, even in the face of death, she shaped not only the character of her son, but the fate of the entire nation of Israel. So I'd like to hold up this example of this amazing woman and encourage you with her story. So ladies, mothers, God commends each and every one of you when you exercise a faith like hers. So I'd invite you, if you have a Bible with you, you can open it up and read with me. We're reading from Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 27. And starting in verse 23, it says this: "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Amen, buddy. Here, can I have that? I'll take that. All right. It's all right. Somebody's got to say it. Maybe we need to hear from him. I don't know. So, my primary point this morning is simply this. The faith of one woman can shape her children and her community forever. And Jochebed did exactly that. So let's get into that. Let's talk about her. Point number one, by not giving way to fear, Jochebed saved her son's life. So in this text, the one you have open in Hebrews 11, it says this, by faith, Moses' parents. It commends both his father and mother. Now, both of them would have had to have exercised an incredible faith in even being willing to have a third child. So their names, Moses' parents have names. You can find those names in Exodus chapter 7. They are Amram and Jochebed. And at this time, Amram and Jochebed already had a daughter and a son. Their daughter Miriam was probably about 12 years old. And Aaron, as we know, was 3 years old when Moses was born. So at the time, there's this changing of the guard in Egypt. The king who was favorable to Joseph, he passed away. And the king who replaced him hated the Hebrews. And that king was afraid of their prosperity. So it is recorded in Exodus that this king decided something. He made an edict. So in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So imagine that, moms. If you have a girl, a baby girl, she is automatically from birth in lifelong slavery. And if you have a boy, he already is under the sentence of instant death. But it says here in the text, neither Amram nor Jochebed feared the king's edict. They were willing to conceive this baby anyway. They did not care at all what Pharaoh said. So even though it meant flipping a coin for the life of their child, both of them were willing to conceive Moses, knowing that if he was born male, which he was under the sentence of death from the start. So the faith to do that is already amazing. But several other things happened here in her story, in Jochebed's story, that are worth noting. So there are some historical sources outside of the Bible that record the birth of Moses. The historian Josephus is a Jewish historian, and he said that because all the Egyptians were watching their Hebrew neighbors for any sign of babies being born, that Jochebed did not make a single sound during childbirth. Imagine that. So again, we don't know that for sure, but if that is true, here's more evidence that she's an amazing woman. Scripture does say, though, that when his parents saw Moses was born, they realized he was a beautiful child and they could not put him to death. And the unwillingness to kill him now meant a potential death sentence, not just for the baby, but for them as well. And so you have to ask, what did they see in this baby that was worth risking death? So there is some question about what it means when Scripture records that Moses was a beautiful child. That word in Greek can mean attractive or well-bred. So multiple sources, again, outside of the Bible, they record that people would stop and stare at Moses because he was beautiful, but also that he was bigger, taller, even more intelligent than all of his peers. He was special in every way. But you have to wonder, how did they know that from birth? How did they know that from the moment he was born? All we can do is speculate. I thought that maybe he's glowing the way he is when he comes down from Mount Sinai and gives the Ten Commandments. He's reflecting the glory of God somehow. I mean, there's no indication of that here. It's a fun thought, but somehow they knew. Ultimately, we don't know how Amram and Jochebed knew he was special. But Josephus, again, he says God visited Amram in a dream and told him Moses was a child of promise and he was supposed to preserve his life. So for 3 months, they did that by hiding him. So what happens to Amram, the father, next? Nobody knows. It's not obvious if he was busy working. I mean, he was a Hebrew slave. So when it was time to give up Moses, maybe he wasn't around because he was busy. We don't know what he ended up doing. So maybe he was there the whole time. Maybe the text doesn't record it. But the one who is put forward in the story is the mother, the wife, Jochebed. So let me read to you a little bit of Exodus 2. And as I do that, notice that it keeps talking about her. This is Exodus 2, 1 through 3. Now a man from the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child or a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. So I hope you see that. It does not say that they did it. It says she did it. So I don't know why Amram wasn't recorded. I don't know if he was busy working. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to assume anything about his motives. But we do read of Jochebed, and we have to wonder, why was she put forward? What was it that she felt as she made that basket and put her son in it and pushed it into the Nile? So this woman, she suffered so much up to this point. And now here she is. She's putting this ark in the river and she's staring down death now for the third time. It's incredible. So let's talk about this little ark. There's two things I'd like to say about Moses's little ark. So first, I hope you see the symbolism in it. This is a smaller version of the ark from Noah's story. Noah's ark and Moses's ark both symbolize God's protection and provision. God absolutely knows how to save the righteous from disaster. So, Jochebed was absolutely believing in God's promises the moment that she places this ark in the river and watches it float away. And she did not know what came next for Moses. And yet, she utterly trusted God to work everything out for good. So that ark symbolizes God's provision, his protection, but it also symbolizes Jochebed's defiance. This is a defiant woman. And she was right to practice some civil disobedience in this instance. So if the king commands you to sin, you may not comply. You must disobey. That was true for her then. It's true for us now. So did Jochebed obey the king of Egypt? Yeah, sort of. I mean, she did. The king said, put the male children in the river, right? So she did that. She obeyed the letter of the law, just not the spirit of it. But she absolutely did the right thing because the Egyptians worshiped the Nile River. And they probably saw the giving of the male children to the river as a sacrifice to their god. So, I mean, I get it. I would not want to participate in child sacrifice either. So here's baby Moses, if you can picture him. He's floating in the river and it's full of choppy water. It's full of hippos and crocodiles. And his mom just watches him float away. But now his sister is part of the story. His sister is walking along the banks with him. So in this story, here's what's incredible to me. The women in Moses' life, they keep redeeming him. So first, it's the Hebrew midwives. They're lying to Pharaoh about the amount of boys being born. And then we have Jochebed keeping Moses alive. And finally, Miriam, his sister, and the Egyptian princess. So the baby's floating, and the princess hears the baby cry, and she sends for the ark. And she sees that he's basically the Gerber baby. He's gorgeous. And she wants to keep him, right? And so when she realizes that she wants this baby, Miriam is miraculously there. So God is using a baby's tears to control the heart of a powerful princess and Miriam's words to arrange for Jochebed to not only nurse her son, but get paid for it. Let me read you a little more of Exodus chapter 2. This is verse 7 and on. It says, "Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby, nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him." So think about that. Jochebed, she put her son in the river, and she received him back the same day. It's incredible. I can only imagine what she would have felt in the moment she was putting him in the river, and in the moment she saw, "Here's Moses returning to me." That is an incredible reward for faith. Again, she did not give way to fear, and by faith, she trusted God to save her son's life, and he did. So again, the fearless faith of one woman can shape her children and her community forever. Point number two, Jochebed's example of faith was found in Moses. Her faith ultimately was contagious. So here's Jochebed. She's now in possession of her son, and she's being paid to nurse him. So Exodus says that Moses remained with her until he was a little bit older, presumably done nursing. And so my understanding is that one of the best things for any child's chances of survival in a society with high infant mortality is to nurse them as long as possible. So maybe Jochebed had Moses till he was 3 or 4 or 5, but probably not beyond that. So if you still have your Bible open to Hebrews 11, I want to draw you to a curiosity in verse 24. It says this, Hebrews 11:24, "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." So even though his parents did not raise him past a young age, even though he was educated completely in the ways of the Egyptians, it says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He wanted to be identified with his people. It says Moses wanted to be Jochebed and Amram's son, not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So I'd invite you to look at a comparison here between verse 23 and verse 27. Verse 23 says this, "By faith, Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's edict." In verse 27, it says, "By faith, he," or Moses, "left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger." So the faith that Moses' parents had, not to fear the king, to instead fear God in the face of death, the faith they were commended for by the author of Hebrews, this fearless faith was eventually found in Moses. So I don't know how Moses learned this faith. If you think about it, I mean, his parents' influence only lasted a short part of his childhood. It's tempting, again, to want to speculate. Did Jochebed somehow influence Moses? Like, did he hear the story of his deliverance from the river as a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old? Did he hear that from his mom and remember it? I mean, that's kind of unlikely. Or did she see her son in secret later? Did he sneak out of the palace? I mean, we don't know that at all. But I'd like to think at least that she was able to impart foundational lessons of faith to him. But ultimately, we don't know how he came to acquire a faith that was similar to hers. I mean, maybe it was Miriam, for all we know. She told Moses stories about his mom later. But whether we ever know how Moses learned, God made sure he did. So the same deep love that Jochebed had for Moses, it drove her to great lengths to save him from death. It was the same love that Moses eventually discovered when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he accomplished the deliverance of millions of people. So there's no direct reference here to his renunciation of palace life, of him saying, "I'm done being a prince," in the book of Exodus. But we do learn it indirectly. Verse 26, Hebrews 11:26. "By faith, Moses saw greater wealth with Christ than all the treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ is greater wealth than Pharaoh's court and all the vast storehouses of grain in Egypt." Maybe you remember in the book of Acts, the martyr Stephen is about to be stoned to death, and he's kind of telling the history of Israel, and he has a little part about Moses. And he says that it was in defending a Hebrew slave against his Egyptian slave master and killing that Egyptian, that was his renunciation. That was him giving up his status as a prince and identifying with the Hebrew people. So if you think about that, to oppose a slave master beating that Hebrew certainly meant the possibility of killing the slave master. Moses might have to kill someone. And yet Moses desired to preserve alive his fellow Hebrew, even though it might have meant facing the king's anger and possibly his own death sentence. Moses was ready to do the right thing no matter the cost. So both Moses and his mother, they had a love for their people in common. They had a willingness to disobey a command to sin in common. And ultimately, they had a love for God in common. So our text in Hebrews 11, it says Moses looked past disgrace to his reward. He saw that it was better to suffer with Christ than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. It wasn't just that he wanted to be he didn't want to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It wasn't only that he wanted to be identified as a Hebrew and not as an Egyptian. In a way, we certainly do not fully understand. The writer of Hebrews says that Moses is looking forward to a future promise, and he wanted to identify with Jesus Christ, even Christ in his suffering. He saw the one who is invisible by faith. He saw what was unseen. So the same was true of Jochebed, of this woman. She saw the suffering before her, but instead of staring at the pain and letting her pain define her, she was able to look past it as well. Her eyes were not on her suffering. She found God in the middle of her suffering, and she saw the reward that God offered beyond her suffering. She did not stare at her tragedy and give way to fear. She didn't refuse to have a third child. She did not give him up immediately, but instead she disobeyed Pharaoh. And she built a basket to put him in rather than obey the command to destroy him. And she looked beyond all these things and she saw God. And by the grace of God, her son was taught to do the same. So again, my primary point this morning, the faith of one woman, the fearless faith of one woman, can shape her children and community forever. So, ladies, mothers, let me speak to you for a moment. Point number three, you have Jochebed's faith. When you can do the same, when you can look beyond pain to see Christ. So, moms, women, you can be like this woman, and you are like this woman. Jochebed's courageous actions preserved the life of Moses, who would one day lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And her ingenuity and faith in defying Pharaoh's decree to kill all these Hebrew baby boys, it allowed Moses to be rescued and to be raised in Pharaoh's household. And Moses would then grow up to confront Pharaoh as an adult and eventually lead the exodus of millions of people out of Egypt. So as such, Jochebed, she played an instrumental but very quiet role in shaping biblical history through her protection of her son, Moses. Her story is a very meaningful example of courage, of motherly devotion, and resourcefulness. So not every mother is Jochebed. Moms, none of you will probably have to face the choice of hiding your child from the king or not, putting him in the river or not. But there are many moms who act like her every single day. There are a million little deaths to die every single day as a mother. Many sacrifices to make, many opportunities to cave to fear, many opportunities to overcome that fear with faith. And certainly in all of you, a desire to love your children and your people really, really well, despite personal cost, even great personal cost. Also, not every child is Moses, But every single child in the back right now is a child of promise. You do not know who you are raising at home. You have no idea what the fruit of your labor will be or the blessing that every quiet sacrifice might bring. So Jochebed influenced her son and an entire nation with one simple conviction that she will do the right thing, no matter the cost. So every day, I know all of you, you do the same for your children and you and your loved ones. And none of you are mentioned in Hebrews 11, but I know that God commends you and your faith nonetheless. And as your husbands, as your children, as your families, we do as well. So mothers, you are Jochebed every time. You're her daughter every time you exercise a faith like this. Every time that you see the pain in front of you and you decide not to cave to fear. Every time you decide not to look at the pain in your life, but to look beyond it, to find Christ within that pain and to find Christ beyond that pain. Every time you follow this example, even in a small way, God sees it and honors you. So ladies, we just want you to know that we see it. We honor you. Let me read to you from Proverbs 31. This is 31:28. It says, "Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." So ladies, I'm asking you now to rise up. If you're a mom here, will you stand up just for a minute? All the moms here, please stand. Let's give you a hand. We love you. Yeah. And stay where you are. Maybe you're not a mom. Maybe you're somebody's aunt. Maybe you're somebody's big sister. We'd love if you would stand too. If you're someone who's ever had to look past your fear to love someone really well, we want to honor you as well. Yeah. We just want you to know today, we do love you. As your husbands, your children, your church, we want to honor you today. So you can turn to somebody next to you. You can say what's important or meaningful to you about what I've shared. But I'd encourage you to do this. Give a woman next to you a compliment. Tell her what you love about her. And we'll hear from the band in a minute.